Devlin here with you, and welcome to another edition of the Mondo Nostalgia Radio Show. And I am on a roll again. I shouldn't jinx myself, because every time I say I'm on a roll, I take a break. That's not true, actually. If you actually look, my track record for making new episodes is actually pretty good. It's just every couple of, you know, once a year I seem to go through a phase where I just, like, stop for a bit. So I am back, and I've been enjoying doing these shows. I love talking about, you know, lots of stuff in pop culture and, you know, personal stuff, too. And today's episode is going to be a little bit of all that. I'm going to talk a little bit about some movies I've seen, and I'm going to talk about a topic that a lot of people don't talk openly enough about, dealing with relationships, your own and other people's. Okay, so yeah, I'm going to go there. So, you know, if that doesn't interest you, or maybe you're just here for the pop culture, or maybe you just want to hear me talk about personal things, whatever the case is, then, you know, stay tuned. I'm going to start this show taking a look at the two movies I want to talk about. And then after the break, I'll be back with the more serious tone. And I got to see two movies, one that is in theaters right now and one that is playing on Netflix right now and doing very well there, too. In fact, both these movies are doing pretty good. The first movie I'm going to get right into is Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. This is a computer animated superhero film that's doing really well. It's directed by Bob Puccetti, Peter Ramsey, and Rodney Rothman. I apologize if I got any of those names wrong. This is a really big critically acclaimed film. I think when it first came out, a lot of people just assumed this was going to be for kids. But I think critics have absolutely adored it and wrapped it up in praise. And, you know, it's, you know, just won a Golden Globe for animated. It's expected to probably get a nomination for the Oscars in the animated. And to be honest with you, I decided I was finally going to go check it out. Now, I don't always jump on the bandwagon when people love something so much. In fact, I'm not saying I'm skeptical, but I always get nervous because there are a lot of movies that people love that I love. But there are a lot of movies that people love that I don't necessarily like. So I was kind of intrigued what I'd take from it. The trailers of this looked pretty great. Like, I have to say, it looked kind of interesting, very comic book style. And when I went into it, it immediately catches you. This is some of the best animation I've seen in a long time. It is does have a comic book style. A lot of it. It doesn't take over the whole movie. In some ways, it kind of reminded me a little bit of Scott Pilgrim versus the World. It just has a little bit of a tone like this. It's really in your face. I could see people who don't like, you know, like big, you know, over the top, you know, like changes and stuff like that. Like, you know, like it's almost like a strobe light effect, the whole movie. It just runs so fast. I liked it because it kind of reminded me of, you know, not only just comic book style, but just old school, like the movies from the 1970s, you know, like a Ralph Balschke movie. And Balschke, I was that wrong. But anyhow, this movie, you know, looks wonderful. It looks fantastic. It also mixes a lot of different animated styles, and that's great. For those of you who don't know, I should tell you a little bit about it. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse is basically, it follows Miles Morales, not Peter Parker, although Peter Parker is in the movie. He's a young guy who also in the comics is bitten by a radioactive spider. And in this movie, he winds up having to deal with the villain Kingpin, who is trying to basically rip open new dimensions in order to win his family back. And in the process, he rips it open and we get a chance to see multiple Spider-Verses. So we do see the one with an older Peter Parker in it. We see one with Spider-Gwen in it. We see one with Spider-Man Noir. We see Penny Parker. We also see Spider-Ham, which was kind of exciting too. Not that I was a big follower of Spider-Ham, but I do remember the Spider-Ham comics when I was growing up, and it was nice that they kind of included him in there. It's a really well-done script. Not only does it look good, but the script is really good. Now, I'd have to say this is a great film. It deserves all the praise it's getting. I had a little couple of issues with it, but I'd still give it a very good review because it is an entertaining film. It holds you. It's the characters are all well laid out. Like the main character, Miles Morales, is just, I didn't know much about him. I've always heard about, when are they going to make a Spider-Man with Miles Morales? And, I'm old school, excuse me, but I am. And I'm always like, my Spider-Man is Peter Parker. But you know what? This movie made me open up my mind a little bit. And Miles Morales was really a cool kid who, just like Peter, has some troubles at first, but he's his own character. He's not. I could see him and Peter Parker at the same age being friends, but they're very different in some ways, and I like that. And I liked Miles Morales, and I'm happy to say that I know a little bit about him now. So now, if they ever said we're going to do a live-action version with Miles Morales, I wouldn't be so prone against it. It's a wonderful script. It's well written. Going into different dimensions and working with different characters could be tricky, but they managed to do it very well. And so I totally get why this movie is getting so much praise and deservedly so. I think younger kids might not. I think they'd like just seeing the footage, and it's a Spider-Man looks great when he's up there. I think they might have some trouble with the story. There are a couple of real jump scares in it that are actually, I heard some kids in the theater that were a little older, and they even said that that was scary kind of thing. So I'd be warning of that. And but you know what? I overall think it's a good family film to go see and check it out. The issues I had with the movie are small. As I said, small. Before I get to my issues, I also want to say that this soundtrack is phenomenal too. From the music in it to, as in the orchestral pieces in it, to the actual music that they pick in it, this soundtrack is really well done. I liked the R&B and rap and songs that they picked for it. And I'm not the biggest fan of that style. Like, I like R&B and stuff, but I'm usually not a fan of when they do like just generic rap. And the music, though, is phenomenal. It stood out to me. I definitely said, this was, it's just a great film. As I said, two minor issues with it, but probably enough to keep it from getting a perfect score for me is one, there's a lot of, I liked some of the humor in it, but there are real dorky bits to the humor that I didn't like, that they could get away with because it was an animated film. Just stuff like when he's learning to, climb walls and stuff, his hands get stuck on stuff, he gets stuck on pigeons and they try to fly off and he's hanging off. Then there's a whole sequence where, he gets, he hits a train and him and Peter Parker are being dragged by the train and they're being hit. And I understand why they do that. It's, for the kids, but it when you have such an intellectual script, it always is infuriating to me that they have to go to those lengths just to get a giggle out of the kids. Because I think you can do a kid's movie without, just dumbing it down, and I didn't like seeing such a smart script having to rely on that kind of tactics when they already showed other humor in the movie that was just as funny. I'm not saying you can't do some slapstick in there. I'm just saying I think they sometimes rely on it a little bit too often in this movie. I also, this, my big problem with this movie is it's overly preachy at the end. It tells a wonderful story and it has the right, and I like movies with messages. But this movie, like, just tries to smash you in the head with the message, And I don't think it ruins anything what the message is because it's basically, there's a hero inside all of us. And I like when movies, have things like that and we love it and stuff like that. But what I don't like is when they have to tell you, like, just so often. And not only do they tell you it in the narration, but they tell you a couple of times in the script. And then if that's not enough, they actually leave you with a Stan Lee quote at the end. And I think they didn't have to put it in the narrative. I think the quote was just nice enough. I think it was nice, but yeah, we get it. We get it. But of course, it's funny when they hit it over your head and have to tell you about it. But they basically still mention at least five or six times with all the different things in the with all the different stories they tell you about the Spider-Verse, that you still have to be bitten by a radioactive spider. So, there's that. So I just think they just wasted their time on, I don't think there's no need to like say, I don't think the audience got it yet, so let's keep doing it. So anyhow, that's my review of the Spider-Verse. There is a lovely little cameo by Stan Lee here. I won't tell you where it is, but I'm glad he is in there somewhere. And on a scale of 1 to 5, I will give Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse 4.5 out of 5. It is that good. It lived up to the hype, I'm very happy to say, because so many times I go to movies that are hyped up, and I just like, why? But this one deserves the hype it gets, and definitely, if you get the chance, check it out on the big screen. It's still playing in places, so get out there. But it'll still work on the small screen. It's just visually really exciting to see it on the big screen. Now, the next movie I'd like to review is a movie that debuted at the end of December on Netflix. This isn't one like Roma where it, played on Netflix and then they opened it in a couple of theaters. This is a movie that just debuted on Netflix and has become one of the most watched movies in their history. And I got a chance to check this out. It's called Bird Box and it stars Sandra Bullock. It also stars Trevante Rhodes, Jackie Weaver, Tom Hollander, B.D. Wong, Machine Gun Kelly, Sari Paulson, and John Malkovich. And this is a Oh, and it's directed by Suzanne Beer. And this is a movie that, I just had a friend who said, "Hey, I really want to check out that Bird Box." Now, I had already heard about this movie because everybody I know was talking about it. As I said, I'm not a big fan when everybody just is like, "Oh, you got to watch this TV series. You've got to see this." And then people just watch it for the sake of being able to watch it. And I don't. I think that's what kind of turns me off on things like Game of Thrones and stuff, because people are just checking these things off the list. So when I heard everybody's talking about Bird Box, and I go to my social media and Bird Box is everywhere, the memes show up. And I'm like, what the heck is Bird Box? And then when my friend said, "Do you want to watch Bird Box?" I said, "You know what? Why not? I'll give it a shot." And I was actually quite surprised by it. It's a movie based on a novel. And it is about kind of a virus that's taking over the world. And they're very vague at what the virus is. It's just suddenly, all of a sudden, people are acting strange. They're committing suicide. They're acting crazy, as in they're, killing other people and stuff. And basically, it's this creature or monsters that you just can't look at. And they just take over the world, and this virus just starts off in, I think they say, Russia, and it just moves around. And you may have even seen the memes, or even now, sadly, the stories of people who are doing what they call the Bird Box Challenge, where they're literally walking outside with blindfolds on. And I actually, my picture I chose for this episode is me walking with a blindfold. Because of just, I'm not, I guess I am jumping on the bandwagon a little, but I just can't believe that I'm actually now reading storylines. Like, not storylines, I'm reading stories in the news about like how teenagers are trying to drive cars blindfolded, which is ridiculous because that's not even a scene in the movie. They drive blinded, but not blindfolded. And like, people are getting themselves hurt and killed because of this. And there's nothing in this movie that says you should go out and try this. This is just people doing it. And it gives validity to the fact that, you know, if Bird Box was a virus, how quickly it would go. Because if stupidity was a virus, it's ridiculous, you know, from, you know, kids eating pod, you know, Tide Pods to, you know, doing this. And it's not just kids doing it. There's adults doing this too. And it makes me question this world a lot. But let's get to the movie. That's a whole different podcast. Let's get to the movie. I actually surprisingly like this movie a lot. I was shocked at how suspenseful it was. It kind of starts off, I won't try to give away too much because this movie is all about the element of surprise. But it goes back and forth to the past and the present. And I actually was more engrossed in the past stuff that built to where they were in the present. But eventually the present stuff gets you interested. But the past stuff is really interesting. Sandra Bullock and Sarah Paulson play sisters. And I actually did a little research on this because after I watched the film, I know I enjoyed it, but I did have some issues with it. And they give enough hints because they don't really go into explanations what this virus is and if it is a virus at all. In fact, they name a couple of demons that it could be. It's just like, you know, conspiracy theories that are said in the movie. But the writer pretty much goes to say, yeah, it's all of that and more. And it actually has a lot of deeper meanings in it. It also not only deals with, because I kept having a biblical feel to it. And even with the use of birds in it, everything to me seemed kind of biblical because there are characters in it that just cannot look at this thing. Because once you look at it, you're gone. But then later in the movie, you find out there are people who can look at it. I won't tell you how they can, but very, very biblical. And I thought, were they going for biblical? And when I was reading my research on it, I was actually surprised that the writer said it has a lot of everything in it. And that's why in the movie, they don't really name what it is exactly. They want you to have that. And I think every good thriller or horror needs that. And I'm glad they did that. So basically, they don't really name it, but it also deals with stepping up to the plate to be an adult, stepping up to the plate to be just a person who is out there in life. Like basically, what am I trying to say? Like we're in the most connected society as we claim that we're connected. We can, you know, look up anything we want. We can text, we can thing to anybody, but we're actually closing down as people. We're shutting things down. And this movie kind of deals with that because, you know, basically the people who are shutting down in this have a better shot of surviving, but unfortunately they have to step out of their comfort zone in order to move with that. And so it deals with a lot of that stuff, but Even if you just watch this as just like a thriller, you're still going to have a lot of fun with this. Or at least I did. I can't speak for you. But I actually kind of liked it. I know some people are kind of mixed with this. I actually think it builds up really good. I think Sandra Bullock was a solid choice. I've very seldom disappointed with Sandra Bullock. She meets an array of interesting people. And two of the standouts for me were Trevante Rhodes, who plays kind of an ex-soldier who's doing what he can to do and help, and John Malkovich, who plays kind of like that bitter neighbor everybody knows about. There is some real emotional tones in this, but also it's interesting to see some of the characters that have to develop as people. And I love, for me, I actually love the tones that say that, you know, you have to step out of your comfort zone if you're going to survive this. And it's more than just you got to become a fighter. It's you got to find stuff inside you you didn't even know was there. Basically, kind of what Spider-Man in the Spider-Verse basically told us at the end. There's a hero inside of you over and over again. This movie doesn't have to sell you on this. So this is a perfect example of how I actually had to go look into it to find that more about. And you know, I'm not stupid. I could have felt that even seeing it, but I sometimes like to read into movies and say, did I feel that, or was I? Because some people have told me I read way too much into movies sometimes because I'm a big movie fan. I think the performances are great. I think the way they build tension is great. I was always like, you know, freaking out about the fact of, you know, when they had to wear blindfolds and going out into places they didn't know. I think there's some nice moments here. Some a little over the top and far-fetched. There's a wonderful sequence where they have to go looking for food and they drive to a supermarket and they paint all the windows and have to drive using only the GPS. And they deal with it a little bit, but there's so many much carnage and smashed cars that I think they would have had a little bit more trouble with it. They deal with it a little bit with bodies in the road and stuff, but I think they would have had a little bit more trouble than this. But it was unique and it kept me suspenseful. And I try not to think about all these people that are doing ridiculous things because of this, because this is a really good movie, and I don't want to have this movie be reminded of just stupidity out in the world that people are deliberately putting blindfolds on, you know, in order to see if they could do the Bird Box challenge. You know, this is a virus that's happening, you know. Since when do we feel we need to be challenged by a movie, you know? You know, what are we going to start doing? You know, maybe we should be challenged by movies where they offer, you know, hope, and they offer, like, not a movie where, like, the whole civilization is falling apart. You know, why don't we, how about a movie where we, like, help people? How about a movie like Wonder or something, which is about, you know, promoting people and helping people? Why can't we be motivated by them? But no, instead, we're going to put a blindfold on and try to drive a car and risk our own lives, our friends' lives, and people who are walking around's lives. Like, unbelievable. And don't even get me on that. And that also works into the film's benefit, because when I first started watching this, I felt that I thought the virus was being transmitted by electronics and communication, because there's a couple of times where people will go crazy right after you see them on a phone or something like that. And it's not, but I'm not saying that they're not totally saying that. In fact, they almost make it sound like it might be some of the causes of the spreading, but they don't really go into that. So I kept thinking that. And the way I see the world going, when you see people putting blindfolds on and stuff, maybe we need. Oh, no, I can't say that. I almost said that maybe we need a good virus to wipe out some of the. But I would never wish that on anybody. And God, that's going to come back to haunt me if I ever become really famous. Luckily, that will never happen, so I don't have to worry about it. But I don't know. I just know a nice stupidity, a virus would be nice, you know, to just eliminate all the people that are doing this kind of stuff. But if you forget all the crazy memes out there and you forget about everything else and you forgive me for jumping on the bandwagon for my picture at the start, which I'm sure Cord is flashing up every time I mention it, Bird Box is a good movie. I think this could have been released in theaters. I think it's better than A Quiet Place. I know people loved Quiet Place, but I had a lot of issues with it. And I actually think Bird Box works better as a movie in every single way. And since Quiet Place is looking to get some, you know, nominations in this year's Oscars, I think Bird Box could have done well at the theaters. In fact, I think people would have gone to see it. I think it's just interesting enough a story, and it is very suspenseful. So, you know, I give it a lot of credit, and I am going to give it a 4 out of 5 stars. I did have some issues with it, but overall, I thought it was very entertaining. And for a movie I really wasn't sold on to see, kept me on the edge of my seat. It's those kind of movies that I love being a reviewer for because of the fact that I just don't expect much from them, and they still deliver. Anyhow, that is my review of Bird Box. And if you have Netflix, definitely check it out. I don't know if they'll release it on DVD or anything like that, but it's definitely worth a watch. Anyhow, that's my pop culture portion of the show, and I'm going to get into some more personal stuff. I'm going to talk about relationships. I'm going to start a little bit talking about working on your own. with your loved ones, or even your friends or family. And then I'm going to talk about dealing with, when you see people you love in bad relationships, but you can't say anything because that's the way it's supposed to be. Anyhow, I'm not afraid to tackle controversial topics like that. And we're going to take a short break, so grab yourself some tea. Some, cold beverage, whatever you feel like, and meet me back here in just a few minutes for more Mondo Nostalgia Radio.
You know, I'm really enjoying this, aren't you?
The presentations are always the same. The films are dumb. I can't stand that stupid dog with the long ears. The seats are uncomfortable and my hotel room's drafty.
Well, I think they're about to take a coffee break.
The coffee will be cold, the cokes will be warm, the service will be bad, it'll be noisy and dull.
Oh, I think you'll get a charge out of this. Coffee break, everybody!
Welcome back, and thank you for pressing play on today's Mondo Nostalgia Radio. And though I've warned you personal talk is coming up, I'm glad that you are staying with us. I know some people are probably thinking, if you change the name from Pirate Radio Show, where you could talk about just about anything, to Mondo Nostalgia, why are you still talking about personal things? Well, number one, it's my show. You know, I can talk about whatever I want, and if you don't want to listen to it, then that's fine. You can always press stop. I'm not forcing anyone at gunpoint to listen to this. It's just anybody who knows me or people who have, got to know me through this media know that I'm a very passionate person, whether it's about pop culture, movies, TV, music, to surviving life. And I struggle with anxieties. I struggle with depressions. I struggle with lots of different things, abandonment issues, and they creep into my life sometimes. And yes, I like to hide and, be comforted by nostalgia. But I also know that sometimes you have to face reality. And I also know that a lot of people listen to me because they deal with the same things. And as much as they like me reviewing a movie or talking about an old TV series or, mentioning music that I adore, a lot of people are interested in how I deal with things. And that's the wonderful thing about podcasts. If you hit a subject, and I'm always very clear at what I'm going to talk about, so you can always fast forward if I got something else. I'm going to stick with relationships. I was toying with reviewing an old movie, but I think I'll save that for an upcoming episode. But I wanted to talk about this because it's been on my mind, and I've always been a believer if something sticks in my mind for a while, you need to talk about it. And first off, I'm going to talk about relationships because in the last couple of months, maybe years even, I've seen a lot of relationships come to an end. Some of them I'm not really surprised that they've come to an end because the writing's been on the wall for a while. And then other times, I've been totally shocked when I see a couple. And, sometimes I know about it because they tell me about it. They call me personally and tell me, I thought you should know. And other times you just see it falling apart because they take to social media. And suddenly within a couple of weeks, I'm seeing, we're trying to work on it. Then we're blatantly breaking up. Then there's some really negative stuff sometimes. Then I'm starting to see pictures of their new relationships, and it really makes me realize how fragile any relationship is. Now, in no way am I saying I'm an expert in this. I can tell you that Mike and I are doing very well, and we try to talk about everything, and we do not argue. And usually, even if we raise our voices, we usually work on it immediately, just because we know how precious relationships can be. That being said, you still have to work on it, all the time. Never be comfortable in your relationship. Now, when I say that, I'm not saying you can't be comfortable. Being comfortable with each other is a great thing. But what I'm saying is never be comfortable in a way as of, you know, I'm not talking about, well, we both do our own things and we can stay in the same room. No, enjoy that. That's the good stuff. But never get comfortable into thinking, I don't have to say I love you every day because she knows or he knows, you know, or be comfortable in the fact of saying, you know, well, I don't have to buy them a little gift or treat them to a dinner or take the, you know, yeah, we don't have to go on date nights. We can just stay in and watch movies and stuff. Because, as I've seen, just when you think a relationship is going fine, suddenly it doesn't. And suddenly you read, you know, statuses about how this relationship is broken. And I am not naive to this. I'm not a believer that one person breaks up a relationship. I think it does take two people, but it doesn't mean that both of them are negligent. I just think that sometimes, you know, even if you play innocent and I don't understand why it's breaking up, you could probably look back and see why. You have to look at that in order to get past it. Now, I'm not saying there's certainly relationships that are just destined to fail, you know, and you can actually see that one's working harder than the other. And sometimes, you know, but it's making me really realize that I never want to get to the point where I don't treat Mike to something or I don't tell him I love. I tell him I love him all the time. I tell my friends I love them all the time. Some people say, well, doesn't that take the meaning away from it when you do? And I said, no, it does not. I remember a young guy getting a tattoo of his aunt on his leg, I think it was, and he said that he did it because he loved her and she had passed away and this was a tribute to her. And I said, well, I hope you also told her. That's a nice tribute, but I hope you told her. And she goes, oh, I didn't have to tell her. She knew. Well, you know what? That doesn't always translate, you know? I've seen lots of people who say, you know, oh, I don't have to tell her. She knows or he knows. And then the next thing you know, I'm reading on social media that the one has left for another person. So when I say don't be comfortable, don't always just assume that, oh yeah, we have good things going. We've got ourselves in a routine. You know, don't fall on that. You always have to work on a relationship, even if it's the easiest thing. I know now relationships are more based on friendships more than passion and romance. I think a lot of those old school relationships you used to see that, you know, marriages, you know, that lasted so long, some of them, you know, you don't see the romance anymore. But I think a lot of them were built on passion and you know, and romance. And unfortunately, the friendship sometimes isn't there. Sometimes I've met older people that have had a friendship all through life, and it's wonderful. And when you ask them how come it's worked so much, we always worked on it. We never took each other for granted. We always listened to one another. So even when I see those cute little memes about, you know, little jabs at the husband or little jabs at the wife, and they constantly put them up. Yeah, I get they're just fun and the other one's giggling about it too. But eventually, those aren't going to be so fun when the marriage falls apart. You know, so yeah, it's great that you can have the sense of humor about it and stuff, but really keep an eye. You know, if they're giggling with you, that's fine. But the moment they start not giggling with you, I'd start worrying and start working on it because you are going to be single very soon. Now, the part I was questioning whether I should talk about is another part of relationships that I've wanted to talk about for a long time. It's basically when you see friends, family that are in a bad relationship, but you can't tell them. And I know what some of you are saying. If you were a good friend, you'd tell them. But you also know that if you try to tell them, you risk being thrown out of your life. I have been in situations, I've been involved in a couple of marriages that have ended, and I knew they were going to end before they walked down the aisle and proclaimed their vows. And I haven't stopped them because I'm trying to respect them. That's what you're supposed to do. But I have not also stood blindly. I have always tried to give them things to think, and you can always tell if they're willing to take it or shut you down. But I've never just adamantly said, this is wrong. This is not going to work out. Why don't you open your eyes and see? And it's infuriating when you see a relationship. Now, I always wish them the best, and I hope I'm wrong, because I'm not always wrong. I have had couples that I have never thought would work out that are still together, and I'm like, okay, there's stuff I don't get to see. I'll respect them for that. But more times than not do I see marriages that I predicted would fall apart. But the annoying thing is all the writing is right there in front of them. It's just they're either blinded by love or the idea of getting married and having kids. And what's even worse is when they have the kids and you still know that they're having the kids in order to save their marriage. They're thinking these kids. And this is one of the biggest problems I've ever had, is the fact that so many of us, and I wasn't one of them, because my family always wanted a lot of kids and I was just an accidental child. But I actually know many people that were actually told by their parents they were actually going to be the glue. They have actually used that phrase, the glue, to save the marriage. And when that marriage does not work, guess what happens? The glue and all the other kids are the ones dealing with it. But what's sad is even when people know that terms like the glue or saving the marriage is used for kids, they still wind up doing the same mistakes. And I'm starting to see this as an adult, how easily we can make the same mistakes our parents do. Again, I'm not patting myself on the back. All the stuff I learned from my parents, most of it is stuff like, yeah, that was a bad thing. I'm not going to do that. Or, you know, I knew they smoked. I knew they drank, and I don't drink as much as my father does. You know, I'm less than a social drinker. I'll drink maybe once in a blue moon, and I don't even usually enjoy it when it happens. And then smoking, I literally tried smoking once. I coughed, I choked, and that was it. I had like a puff, and that was my smoking career. But I also watched my mother die of emphysema. Now I've seen people that have seen family members dying of emphysema and stuff, and yet they still have a cigarette in their mouth. Like, we constantly make the same mistakes. So it is hard when you're sitting there and you're having to watch relationships. And I have a couple right now on the go that I'm just kind of like, I feel I don't even have to say anything because everybody else sees it, except the people involved in it. I know a couple of relationships where they are in relationships with such fake people, and they just rave about how they're the most genuine, honest people they are. And I'm like, just there's so many things that, like, red lights are all over the place. But because you have to respect them, you have to sit back and watch them. It's too bad we don't live in a society anymore where people actually listen to their friends more. So all I can do is give little hints like, well, did you notice they have this? They've been doing this a lot. Just keep an eye on that, because that translates to other stuff. Even the littlest things are dead giveaways to red lights of bad relationships. Sometimes I see people that, you know, their whole shtick is, you know, we like to put each other down. And, you know, we get a gag when people think it's for real. And I always think to myself, well, I've seen a lot of marriages end because that gag. And it's funny because the humor behind those little jokes about, you know, putting each other down, they're not as funny when you break up. They suddenly become mean-spirited and you start realizing there was a venomous tone behind them all along. And the funny thing is I've seen a couple of marriages that have constantly used this in their relationship
and they're done. And what does the thing is, most of the time it turns out the one person searched for somebody who treated them better. That totally goes against everything that this fun little poking, and I'm not saying you can't joke and jab, but there is a point where it does get to other people like, yeah, that's not joking. That's taking it a little too far. And you're saddened because they don't see it. And it's really sad. So all you can really do is just kind of give little comments. You'll know if they want to hear more. I won't answer questions now unless, you know, I make a comment like, hey, do you notice that person never finishes their projects? You know, do you notice that they always seem to jump from, you know, different projects, different jobs, different relationships, different friends? Do you think that might be something that you might be warned about? You know, they can't commit to certain things. Do you think a wedding or having kids is something they're going to just change and commit? I do believe people can change. And as I said, I always wish them the best. Even when I meet, you know, a friend's soon to be, you know, whether it's girlfriend, boyfriend, you know, husband, wife, mother to be, father to be, and I don't like them, I always root for them because I hope I'm wrong and I hope one day I see something. But it makes it so awful when I spend time with them and I say, okay, you know what? I just got to spend more time with that person. And the more I spend time with them, the more I'm thinking I'm right. That is so horrible. But you know what? All I can do is make my little comments, not come right out and say anything. If they ask me point blank, I'll be honest. But I'm not going to risk my friendship or my family relationship with someone for that person, because that is what is they're kind of hoping happens. You know, there's lots of little ways you can see it. If you can see a person is like, your thing is like little friendly jabs and stuff. You know, there's a difference between friendly jabs and when it just becomes disrespectful, but you're still both laughing it off. Like, oh, we like when people think we have troubles. You know, when you're saying shit like that, well, geez, will you like it when those troubles become real? And you know that those people probably said, yeah, this isn't going to last. When somebody is trying to alienate you from other friends and you're just doing it willingly, or they try to move you away from your family and friends and they're trying to stop you from seeing those, or they're like giving you guilt trips for spending time with them, warning signs. They're trying to take all the things because they want to be the only thing in your world. Guess what happens then? When you have kids, you're the one who gets pushed aside, okay? There's just so much situations like that. And all I'm saying is, if you're in a situation where maybe your best friend is with somebody that you do not like and you have to bite your tongue more times than often, yeah, you think telling them exactly how you feel about them is right. And if you have a friendship like that, that's great. I have a couple friendships that I've said I'm going to be totally honest with you. But then as soon as I try to, I get shut down, and so I learned my lesson. But you know what? You also have to worry about that too, because you could lose a really good friend. And then there's also the situation, you have to be there for them if it does fall apart. You can't just come in and say, you know, this marriage was over before it even, you guys were past the dating stage. The truth be told, don't do that. That is a huge mistake. The reason why is because they could always work things out with them, and then you have to deal with that annoying. I think there's a whole Seinfeld episode where people put down the person after they break up, and then when they get back together again, well, you never liked them anyhow, you know, and you don't want to be in that situation. But not to mention, if you're going to be a good friend, you were there for them through the horrible times. You should be there for them for the heartbreaking times too. And just hope and pray they don't follow the same mistakes, because quite frankly, we now live in a society where we don't take time. You know, suddenly when they break up with people, they make grand declarations about how they're going to better themselves and they're going to concentrate on being themselves. Then 6 months later, you're seeing on social media that they have found the new love of their life. It doesn't work like that way, people. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. But you got to be careful. It's like walking through landmines. And, you know, I've had good cries over them sometimes when I just realize, you know, damn, these people are going to be making a big mistake. And then when you see them bringing kids in it, I'm just praying that I hope things work out. And I hope the number one thing that makes me happy is when someone proves me wrong in a way like that. When I can actually sit back and say, you know, I didn't hold up much hope for this person, but they've really stepped up. They've really become a good person. It doesn't happen that often, but that's how I wish it always would work. But many of the times I've been standing at weddings, knowing damn well that I'm going to be seeing the breakup thing on social media. And this, I've seen it a couple times in the last little while, but I've seen a lot of breakups in the last couple of months. And these were people that, you know, one case I can think of was one I knew was not going to last. And number two, somebody I never thought would break up did. And it's heartbreaking when that happens because you're like, I really kind of root for any relationship, you know. And it's tough when you just don't trust the players in it. And yet the other problem is that, you know, these, your friends, your family are putting these people up on pedestals and they still get treated like garbage. And yes, there's probably good in them and stuff like that. But when you can see it, you got to remember sometimes they can't see it because they're blinded by all the good things. That's why we have so much domestic abuse. And I'm not just talking physical violence. I'm talking sexual and emotional abuse is because the people that are in the relationships try desperately to work on it, but they don't even realize sometimes that they're actually connected to a concrete block. Sometimes you're just going to have to listen to your friends. Sometimes you're going to. And if you have a situation where they're not listening to you, don't give up on them. Hold their hands. Make sure they know your door is always open and that you're ready to help them no matter what happens. And hope for the best. Hope that they do work it out. Hope that that person you were wrong about turns themselves around. It's not likely to happen, but it's not impossible either. I hope I've spun this into a more positive way, and some of you are probably even thinking about relationships that you're probably a part of now where you're seeing like, yeah, I don't think that's going to last. But remember, don't just worry about them. Worry about your own relationships. And I'm not just talking your partner. I'm not just talking your boyfriend or your girlfriend or your husband or your wife. Your friends, your family. They're all things that have to be worked on. The moment you think of the term unconditional love, you're not working on something. And that's the best time to lose it. Like that's the best time when somebody is going to go looking for something more. Anyhow, it's not a positive science, but maybe today would be a good day to take somebody you love out. Maybe invite them to lunch, take them to dinner, you know, talk to them on the phone. Send them a little note, just anything to tell them, I'm thinking about you, and you make my life a lot brighter. Anyhow, we're going to leave on that positive note. I hope I've helped you, because I hate being in situations like that, so I can imagine that there are a lot of people that are in similar situations. Anyhow, have yourself a wonderful day. Thanks for listening. I'll be back again next week.